So most of the time I try to find ways of avoiding passwords altogether. I'm really not a big fan of passwords, but given that we seem to be stuck with them, I think it's in our best interest to understand them. And this talk is about understanding passwords and how they're distributed in order to make sense of security in the context of passwords. And this is joint work with my student, Mayank Timan, who couldn't be here. And I'm going to focus on password strength checkers as a starting point for this. Normally, this is what password strength checkers do. They check, is it long enough? Does it have enough uppercase, lowercase, and enough other stuff? Not a very scientific description of security. And in fact, if you allow me, if we want to find fast runners and were to ask, does it have yellow? Does it have black? Does it have a tail? And does it have dots? Hoping that we'll find one of these amazingly fast creatures, we might end up with something else that fits the description and which isn't very fast. And that's the same for password strength checkers. By applying a set of rules that aren't very meaningful and believing that the result of passing those rules is a strong password, we may fool ourselves. So instead, I argue that password strength checkers, what they should do is to determine how likely or unlikely something is. That's the real goal. So a good password is one that is unlikely in the context, of course, of what the adversary will know. So the question first is, what is unlikely? What does it mean to be unlikely? First of all, we need to know the distribution, the likelihood distribution. And that is not something that we can measure in terms of counts of uppercase and lowercase, because that is not how the creation of the password comes around. Instead, we need to understand how they're generated. We need to understand something about the end user. So of course, I'm not speaking about one particular end user, that would be pointless, but I'm speaking of end users as a large collection. And when I say that to understand passwords, of course I mean the distribution of them and the statistical likelihood of something to happen. So what I will argue could be done, and which we did in order to test it, was to have a two-step process. First of all, which we have a setup process where we determine various components of passwords and rules that seem to passwords seem to follow. And then what we did is we parsed lots of passwords. I've been collecting passwords for years, mostly from Dropboxes, and we determine how they seem to comply with these various rules and components that we believe passwords have after having manually studied passwords. And then we record the frequencies of these component and rule elements and use that as a way of thinking of probability. So of course, it is frequency of occurrence, but for a large enough set, we might as well use that instead of the probability of the occurrences. So that's the first phase. Think of that as simply producing a filter. It produces weights for what is likely and what is not likely. And the second phase is we want to assess the password strength. We have one particular password, say, and we want to know how strong is that. Well, we use the same kind of parser to identify components and rules that are used, and then we determine the probability for each component and each rule, and we multiply these probabilities together, and we get the probability of the password. So before I go on, let me reveal what I believe these components and rules are for typical users. So the most common component is a word. In fact, an English word, whether you speak about English language users or not, it turns out. The most typical rule is that of concatenation. You take two components and you concatenate them. So, for example, using only those two, those two elements, one component and one rule, you could think of two words that are being concatenated. Big dog would be a password, according to those two. So there are other kinds of components too. Some of them are natural, like we might add a numeral, 1972, which would be much more common than, for example, any five-digit number or any three-digit number, because 1972 might be the year when you or your little sister were born. Now, there are other components, too, that are not so natural, like exclamation marks and hash signs and, you know, everything we force our users to add because our password strength checkers say that that is good. Those are additional components, and those, in my view, are unfortunate. I'd like to ignore them, but for now, I'll take them into consideration. So we have a number of components, and then we have rules, concatenation being the most common. There's LEET, where you take a word and you replace characters with somewhat similar looking characters, so an E becomes a 3, for example. Another rule would be insertion, incredibly uncommon. One that is really great and of interest to me is misspelling. You see lots of misspellings. We don't know whether they're intentional or not, but they sure increase the security. So those are typical rules and components. Now, I'll speak of a couple of data sets here. The first one I called JB, that's the Justin Bieber data set. Those were passwords that were obtained by an attacker who hacked into the Justin Bieber fan site. So there is no bias here in the sense that these are not, one password here is not more likely than one that isn't here to be from a gullible user. These are all the users. So that's an important thing to consider, whether there's bias or not. There's no bias in terms of the collection for the Justin Bieber data set. But there's plenty of bias in terms of the type of users. They're typically 13-year-old girls. They're not hackers. They are not 65-year-olds. So there is a noticeable user bias. And that will be interesting if you have a particular interest in those demographics. Then there's what I refer to as the rootkit data set. That was another site compromise for a site that discussed security. So most anybody here is a security professional, or at least wishes that he or she were, and have, you know, set passwords that they thought were pretty amazing. Now, it's interesting to notice that some 13-year-old girls are much better than some security professionals or security professionals wannabe. And you can glean interesting stats about how people think from these data sets. Another one, which I probably should not have written out as PayPal, because that's my affiliation, is from PayPal users. Those were, I used to be forced to call it large financial service provider when I gave talks about it. Now, from this third data set, which is from the large financial service provider, that is from a Dropbox. So this is something that malware authors or phishing phishers collected credentials from unsuspecting users. And then PayPal employees got hold of this Dropbox, this file of stored credentials, stole it from the thief, and of course, made all of these accounts being locked, and I got the passwords. It's very interesting. This is a phished data set, so you could see that some of them probably were not the real passwords. People will write insults, but most of them look truly like good passwords. But there's a strong bias here towards people who are vulnerable to phishing attacks, of course. The fourth data set is the Sony rootkit, the Sony, I forget how it was obtained. I have to refer to the paper, but these are from two various compromises. And the last one is from a porn site, which to me is of particular importance because it shows a very different type of security behavior. Now here, people aren't guarding their financial credentials, but merely access to a site that they would like to remain having access to. So there are very different reasons for people to have passwords and retain control over these accounts. Now, looking at the rules, you'll see that there are different uses of rules. Now, this is highly deceptive because it starts at 95.5%. It's just because I wanted you to actually see some difference. The blue, which goes on and on below the slide, is concatenation. That's how common concatenation is. And the yellow is a spelling mistake, most common for the porn. I don't know if it's because the people there don't know how to spell, or they thought that it was a very good security measure to misspell. My guess is the former. The use of leet is high, both for the 13-year-olds and for rootkit. I was surprised how much leet 13-year-olds speak. Now, some results from this, if you look at the probabilities after you take all these components and you take all the rules here and their associated frequencies, interpreting those as probabilities, and you multiply them together, this is the top 100 passwords and their probability for the different data sets. And I do apologize for the weak poor quality of this. You could see peaks here. The Justin Bieber is the one that is on top. There are lots of very, very weak Justin Bieber passwords. Some of them saying Justin Bieber is best or something like that, or Justin Bieber number one. They're not the greatest. And from the other ones, they're slightly better. But the interesting part here is not the fact that what the curves look like, but it's the fact that we can look at the curves. Because anything that you see on the screen here is a weak password. And if you ran this live when people input their password, whether at account creation time or just login time, then you could say this is a bad password. We don't want you to use a bad password. We're not going to let you do that. Update it. So the mere possibility of looking at this is encouraging. Here's another graph that shows the curve. This is a cumulative distribution for the password strength. And you could easily say that you want to cut it at, for example, at the where you see the rootkit arrow at the bottom, that corresponds to the 10% weakest passwords. And you could say those should not exist in the system. And since we have a way of measuring the password strength now, those are the ones that we also want to inhibit. Now the question is, what can we do with this ability? You could do what's referred to as ATO classification, ATO being an acronym for account takeover. For example, if you see that many accounts were taken over and they had very, very weak passwords, extremely weak passwords, you could hypothesize that those were guessed passwords. They were just exhaustively searched. If you see that they're rather strong passwords, you could say, well, probably that is not how it happened, but probably this is from malware or phishing attacks. You could correlate it with password reset in order to predict forgetting. For example, say that a particular range of scores results in much higher rates of forgetting passwords. You could say that's a range that we want to discourage people from using. And you could determine degree of similarity, because after all, we've parsed the passwords. We could see if a user reuses a very similar password, either sequentially on one site or on different sites, where those different sites to collaborate. And finally, we could one important thing would be to ask how we can communicate strength. Now, this is a very complicated way of measuring strength, and it's very hard for us to communicate this to a user, of course, who's saying, let's speak about probabilities for a while, and this first word is not very good because it's rather likely and so on. So these are all topics that are unexplored and which I think are valuable in the context of password strength. And I'm going to show you something that relates to how to communicate strength that is absolutely not serious. And please, if you were to blog, don't say that I said this. And this is not a PayPal product. So it's the naked password female and the naked password male, where it's pretty much striptease according to the strength of your password. Again, this is not endorsed by PayPal. It's not used by PayPal. And it's not affiliated with PayPal. nor of any of the authors of this paper. But the URL is up there, the z.u naked password, if you want to try your password. I have no assurances that your password will remain safe if you do, but it's a good effort, at least. Thank you.